May the Lord enable us to commence our services today with hymn 675. 675. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Ye wretched sinners, come and lay your load at Jesus' feet and plead what he has done. Hymn 675.
Let us read the Word of God, the Psalms, Psalm number 66, and also reading in the First Epistle General of Peter, chapter 1. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honour of his name, make his praise glorious. Say unto God, How terrible art thou in thy works! Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. And blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Let us also read, friends, in the first epistle general of Peter, chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and to unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May it be so today, friends. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, thou great God Jehovah, the true and living God, we venture to call upon thee now, thou knowest. We come, Lord, pleading that one and only name, that thou the Father loves to hear thy children plead. Oh, as we have in the hymn and that which in that way of exercise and approach to God, Lord, oh, we feel confirmed as we come before thee now. Beg him for help for the services this day. Beg him for help that we may worship thee, our God, in spirit and in truth. Lord, do come to us each and favour us. May it be in us each in that way of a desire and exercise to worship our Lord, to worship the Lord with prayer and with praise. Lord, help us each. We thank thee, Lord, that we can gather in this way, publicly, openly now. We pray we might not be restricted again. Lord, oh, thou knowest there are still the restrictions in the way we must conduct ourselves, the way we must attend to the needful things for the safety as naturally felt needed. And Lord, we pray, Lord, we might so be able to not think anything that those in authority have put in place, Lord, is unreasonable, but oh, acknowledge it is not unreasonable in these solemn times. But Lord, oh, may we look higher than the things that are in place at this time and look more solemnly at ourselves and our country, Lord. For, Lord, we know we are under thy judgments. Lord, thy people may even be brought to feel it personally as thy chastening. But, Lord, certainly upon the whole land it is thy judgment. And, Lord, we beg that we may, as a country, as a nation, learn righteousness. As thy word states, Lord, in those Old Testament times, how it was when the Lord's judgments were upon the land, the people of the land learned righteousness. We cannot see much of this, Lord, or any hardly of it, Lord, at all. Lord, our government do not acknowledge thy solemn judgments. They do not acknowledge thee, our God, the true and living God. And it grieves us, Lord, that thou, our God, are not acknowledged nationally in England as it used to be, Lord. Lord, thou knowest. But oh, we beg of thee and we pray that each and all of thy dear people may be in much confession of our national sins, as we need to be in regard to our own sins. Lord, oh, we beg we may have true confession, solemn confession of the sins of our land. But, oh, Lord, we beg we may leave these things as we are favoured to be in the quietness of the sanctuary. We pray, Lord, that they will come to us today here in this sanctuary, Lord. And as has been mentioned in desire to us in the message from our dear friend and brother and his dear wife away on holiday, oh, that we may be favoured today. We pray it may blessedly be so, and that they, where they may gather, may be favoured. Oh, may the rest and change do them good, both in body and in soul. And Lord, any others away, we pray for them. Bless them, favour them, Lord. Do them good. And the dear people here, thou knowest, we come to them once more. Thou knowest those things that have obtained over the many years that we have witnessed here. And Lord, how thy favour has specially been manifest in later years, as thou hast brought dear souls to come and tell what thou hast done for them, how thou hast blessed them, favoured them, how they've been brought to know thy love and taste redeeming love. Are there not yet more, Lord, as we've read that psalm together this morning, that must come to tell of what thou hast done? Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Thou knowest, Lord, with one personally, we have had those three times of having to testify, both in Now coming before the church, first of all at Stockfold Hope, and then on our removal to Ashwell, as we had taken the farm near the chapel there, and then for the in the exercise for the ministry. Or is it even so here that there is any one in this? Oh Lord, thou knowest how it was given us to be in exercise, watching and waiting for thy appearing here. Lord, thou knowest all thy holy will, and thy will must be attended to and done. Thy will be done. This is our desire and prayer, Lord. Lord, that the will of the Lord may be done, even in these solemn times and the building of thy church, as we read of it in the word. Thy church shall be built even in troublous times. No, let thy work appear unto thy servants, Lord, and thy glory unto their children. Oh, Lord, we beg, so come and grant, Lord, that wonderful favour to be felt of the drawing power of thy love. Lord, we beg. And Lord, thou knowest upon us today to come before the friends here is that word which we awoke with nearly around 2 o'clock this morning, which thou powerfully settled in our heart, Lord, to bring before the friends here today. Lord, thou knowest how we've read those things in the epistle, first epistle general of Peter, the wonderful things of those favours and the way thou dost work and grant and bless thy people, Lord. Yet too there is the great need in the various cases of the trying of your faith. And Lord, it may be, as we believe it is in thy purpose today, to lead us to consider these things. Lord, oh, those who are under trial, those who are under those deep things, Lord, thou knowest. And Lord, the wonderful favour we pray may be confirmed to us, your faith. Oh, the vital favour of God's people, blessed to be begotten again unto a lively hope, but then too to be tried and to be proved, and that we might not be found wanting in God's tremendous day. Oh Lord, hear us, we beg. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Lord, we pray one for another. Come and suit thy blessing to each case. Lord, we pray for the dear younger friends, the young people here. Oh Lord, thou knowest, we greatly feel concern for them as they will have to go on, we trust, living long after we are gone home to glory. Oh Lord, oh do be with them, do help them, do bless them. Above all, do in thy mercy deal with them, teach them. And Lord, oh, there are those we believe in whom thou hast begun in, and we pray thou wilt, as we believe, thou wilt go on to be gracious to them and in them. I think of the theme in the hymn, Lord, that thou wilt for them work and in them too, and guide them right and bring them through. Lord, oh, may it be so for each one. And any that may be away at university, Lord, be with them. And Lord, what we've heard even in the late news last night, in the way, Lord, of the lockdown of the universities, Lord. Oh, what hard things these are. If any of our dear people, Lord, of our dear families, the families of thy people are in such a place, oh, do undertake for them and help them, Lord. Lord, we pray for our young people, they may be kept in the ways of Zion. We know we're not naturally in the ways of Zion, even though we're brought up in Christian families. But, oh, may thy work appear, Lord, in that thou dealing with and teaching the dear young people. Oh Lord, how good it is to be born in a Christian home and to be so, Lord, given that direction and teaching in the family life. But Lord, oh, above this we pray, let thy work appear. Oh Lord, do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Oh, may it be made a great concern, a solemn concern to each one. Where shall I spend eternity? Oh, so easy in early life, in teenage and younger years, Lord. Oh, Lord, they've noticed people, young people think they have their life before them, and we humbly trust they do have, and we desire that they may rightly so feel this, and Lord, but oh, do not leave them to neglect the fact that we must all die, and some earlier than others. Oh Lord, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. May this be solemnly impressed upon each one, Lord, we beg. Oh, hear us too for our friends that are in the midst of the battle. You know, it's the path of tribulation some have to walk. And we think of friends that we know and love in thy name who have come into much tribulation. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that all grace may be given as they need it. And, oh, Lord, where there is any solemn feeling of guilt and folly, Lord, which is much felt upon us and in us, Lord. Lord, you know, as we beg that we each and all may come before thee with solemn confession of our many, many sins. Lord, pleading that word that John was led to write in his epistle, Lord, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray for our friends that are in affliction, and know with those we especially have upon our heart to remember day by day. Oh Lord, do from affliction rise. Oh, may it be thy purpose in love to them to heal and raise up and restore, Lord, and may it be blessedly felt in the spiritual reality of it, so that there may be those that shall say, in sweet testimony, restoreth my soul. Oh, we feel for the afflicted, Lord. We pray, heal. Oh, do heal, Lord, from disease and affliction. From pain, Lord, relieve, but sanctify our pain, Lord. Oh, in the way of leading us into fellowship with thee in thy sufferings. And Lord, we pray for our friends who are in mourning, who knoweth those who have lost loved ones of recent days. Do comfort them, Lord, with the comfort of thy love. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, so help us to remember all our friends. Friends have recently been joined in holy matrimony as they are going forth in life together. Oh, do wonderfully go before them and bless them. Oh, and may they have blessed fellowship and communion together in thy, in the favour of thy presence felt, and Lord, to live in union with each other and the Lord, and possess with sweet communion joys which earth cannot afford. Oh Lord, hear us now. You knoweth how we greatly need thee to come and give us every word, that we may preach in love and faithfulness, and souls may be favoured, fed, and blessed. Lord, do come. We beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Continue with hymn 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Hymn 711.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the First Epistle General of Peter, chapter 1, and the verse 7 is the word the Lord has laid upon me early this morning. But of course, as we have read, there is much in the context. Oh, what a profound part of the Word of God this is. The dear Peter was so given of the Spirit to write. But the verse 7 we name as the text today, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. At the trial of your faith, do you know the experience of having been in and under the trial of your faith? I mean, are we characters who have been born again? We know the word in the context states it, begotten again. That means being regenerated, born of the Spirit. But let's step right back to the beginning of the chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia and Bithynia. But though they're strangers, friends, in that they're acknowledged from all those parts, yet it's stated they're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. New friends, are you and am I of these favoured characters, the elect, wherever we've come from, wherever we were born, wherever we were, even in the whole world, it means, you know, from all these parts, where we were and where we were by nature, we were in a state of being dead in trespasses and sins. But according to God's sovereign choice of his people are acknowledged, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, do you have anything of this reality, of this truth that applies to you and to me? Are we among the people of God, of his sovereign choice? Do we have any evidence of this? I mean, in all the days of coming to chapel, all the times we've come to chapel, if we do not have real evidence of this fact that we are God's people, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, what is all our religion about? What is it all about, friends? What is it in the reality of it? Oh, we may be solemnly left to be, and all those that God has not set his love upon will be left to be in a dead form of religion, either in a dead form of a religion or just worldly wise and filling up their days with just natural things. But friends, if we are made to be spiritual characters, I believe that will bring out the great favour of how God has loved us, his great love wherewith wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. You know how the word runs, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do we know anything of this, friends? Personally, let us each personally consider. For these things are not to be trifled with. They are the vital, important realities which give the proof of our standing, friends. Now, do you have any knowledge, any understanding, any experience of what is stated, the elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ? You see, sanctification of the Spirit, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Have we been brought, friends, to know our need of Jesus Christ? Have we been brought to know a need of salvation. Has God so dealt with us, showing us what we are, making us to know what guilty sinners we are before God, a holy, holy God, as he brought us to be in deep concern, solemn concern about how we stand. And as he convicted and convinced us of our sin, you know, the hymn writer says, convince us of our sin and lead to Jesus' blood. You know, a dead soul still in the darkness of nature won't pray that. They won't pray that. They won't feel the need of that. But one who's been quickened and one who has had some measure of conviction of sin and some mercy felt of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, he or she will desire, will need to pray, convince us of our sin. Because we are brought to know by the Lord dealing with us that when we feel to have to be under the concern and exercise of guilt and guilt of our sin, it's the Spirit that makes us feel it. And this makes us really need the Saviour, really need forgiveness, really need the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we really need to plead for mercy then. God be merciful to me, a sinner, the sinner. And it's that remedy we want, that we need, Christ's divine atonement we need to know and believe we have interest in, and that we're sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sin is dealt with. But friends, so we cannot dwell there really. But the desire of the apostle is grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from Christ from the dead. Can you say you were begotten again unto a lively hope? I mean the reality, vital reality of being born of the Spirit, quickened by grace and made alive, and God in mercy going on to teach us, to deal with us in love and mercy. You see, he will make us to be different to what we were. Different characters, born again characters are different. They have a change of heart. In fact, they're given a new heart, and oh, they will say they are made to differ. The question may come, who hath made thee to differ? God has. God has begun his work. If we're made to know what sinners we are by God, if we're convicted and convinced of our sin, if we are brought to know the need to pray, to beg the Lord for mercy, you know, we are changed, we are begotten again. But I believe too here, this word can apply in cases to those who have surely been born again, and they have been given to know and have the witness of that in God's further dealings with them. But we are changeable characters, friends. We are so prone to wander, and sin being within us and all about us, and Satan craftily working to try and make us, even to make us make shipwreck of faith. You know, we may slip and fall and backslide, but then we need the Lord to come again, begotten again unto a lively hope. And it was, of course, you think of the disciples, and think of Peter, how he loved his master well, but a loving Peter foul. You know, when he denied his Lord, he went out and wept bitterly. And when the Lord, especially when the Lord looked upon him, he really felt it, what he'd done. But you see, oh, the Lord was going to the cross to suffer, bleed and die there. And though Peter followed afar off, we know in that way, and there were many that followed afar off then, especially when he went into the judgment hall and then led to Calvary. But the apostles acknowledge in the epistles they were eyewitnesses of the sufferings of Christ. And, you know, with God working in his people, he brings his people to have that understanding and favour of believing in Jesus. And it may be he grants a special view by faith to his people, and they are favoured. But then, like Peter, it may be one or another of you have fallen. Oh, have you denied your Lord? Oh, is it such a sin to you? What Peter committed is your sin as well. Have you denied your Lord? You could think of this. I pray you will think of this in the many ways, the angles of it, aspects of it, friends, denying our Lord. You know, if we know, after being blessed, and if we're given to know and feel it in our heart and conscience, that we should obey his commands, but we are not willing to, really, friends, that's denying our Lord. Denying your Lord. What he commanded you. You should be saying, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul. You can't throw any stones at Peter. You're denying your Lord. Solemn, isn't it? Not in the way that with oaths and curses he denied him, but in a real sense, you're denying your Lord. If he has blessed you and favoured you, do try to think of it. May the Spirit bless you to think of it and consider it in that way. But anyway, further than that, we can't go here in this context. But, oh hell, it will be our desire, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to say that Peter, like he was, you know, he really knew this that he wrote here. Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection. It was the resurrection that brought Peter to stand in such wonder. And especially that message that was the Lord's message to be taken to his disciples. Go and tell my disciples and Peter. And oh, here he speaks of the resurrection, begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, which fadeth not away, reserved for in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Well, friends, now for the text, as God may help us. Oh, is it in your life and pathway that God has brought you to be in the trial of your faith? You know, one of the hymn writers says, grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. And the trying of your faith is more precious than of gold that perisheth. Oh, that the trial of your faith being what you're in now, if it is so in your case. Oh, what you're having to experience, that the trial of your faith, as we know, faith, though the smallest, as I've said, must surely be tried, because God will ever be proving it in and for his people's good. Oh, that it's true faith, not false faith. Oh, the reality of living faith, you know, as you're under the trials, in the trial of faith, sweet is the theme to those who exercised in that way. Oh, it is the trying of your faith more precious than gold that perisheth. Yes, the favour, friends, of it, the reality, the proof that it gives of your being a true child of God, the trying of your faith. Oh, how it says here, in this way, the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth. Now let us consider it in this way first. Now is your path and life in religion, which we hope by grace is true religion, and being in the way, is this the most important part of your life, the most important reality of your life and your daily exercise? Oh, that God has brought you to be in the kingdom of his grace, and like we've been singing, he's given you to know Christ, the Son of God, as your hiding place. You know, ever so much as you go on, you know of the onslaught of Satan. Even soon as a child of God is brought to be in any measure of establishment in the faith, Satan will more and more be trying to bring confusion and making the child of God to be unsettled and uncertain if he can. You will know this. God allows him to, not in any unrighteous way. God is always righteous, perfectly righteous and just in his dealings. But God has his deep, profound, permissive will, and Satan is allowed to do much. And all this will be part of the trial of your faith. Is Satan a great foe to you? Is he your enemy? Our enemy, the devil, is he such a foe? Is it like is put in the hymn, "Nor will Satan spare to say"? There is quite mistook the way. The child of God is subject to the crafty work and way of Satan trying to do his worst against them. You know what you are having to suffer, what you're having to pass through, what you're having to experience. And friends, we have to acknowledge it's not outside of the will of God, the deep, profound, permissive will of God. And so, to such a character here today, oh, if you're in troubles in these ways, perplexities, as Satan attacks you, as you have and know in your natural wicked heart that you're so ready to listen to Satan rather than listen to God. Oh, this is the trial, you see. This is the trial, the affliction, the tribulation that God has appointed you to pass through, to have to experience. But, oh, friends, we pray we may be able to understand the first part of this verse, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. It's deeply profound, because in the will of God, God even allowing Satan to do so much against his dear people, it's all deeply profoundly for good, for the good that God has in perfect view in his purpose for his people. They must be tried, grace though the smallest, faith and grace though the smallest of it, must be tried, because it must be made to be and proved to be true faith, the faith of God's elect. Yes, so how is it with you? How are you in your pathway, in your daily life? How is it that the trial of your faith being? See, it's ongoing, it's present exercise. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. You know, of course, we're naturally, rightly living day by day in our lawful callings. You in your path and in your an awful call in what you have to do with how God has blessed you and helped you in it and provided for you. And what a wonderful wheel of providence, God's wheel of providence is for his people. His providing is providing all what you need and giving you that enabling to succeed and to progress and to so pursue your livelihood and to prosper in it according to God's sovereign will for you, young people. The Lord finding you a useful purpose in life. Those of you who are not yet toward that, but what God has in mind for you in his holy mind, his will for you. Oh, how he does provide, makes a way. And if you are really in exercise by grace, you will be wanting God to show you the way, to open up the way for you, that you may go in the way that is within God's will. You may have that employment and that those paths in life that God has appointed for you. Oh, is it a concern to you if God is exercising you in the way spiritually? I'm sure he will also exercise you in the way of your path in providence. And I believe he will provide. He has promised to provide by the way and to the end. Oh, we think of you in these things and pray for you. But you see, being in this way, and older ones perhaps, or even young ones, can be soon brought under and into the trial of faith, the trial of your faith. And it's really God, your Heavenly Father, dealing with you as you are his sons and his daughters. That is, those of you who are in this, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Sons and heirs of God, joined heirs with Christ, we are by grace. Let the trial of your faith be much more precious. It's a good thing, it's the exercise the Spirit will give to cause the child of God to know what is the greatest priority of our lives, friends. Oh, what is, as our dear friend made it in his prayer, one thing is needful. You know the reality in the way of God for his people is he will bring his people to know that one thing is needful. And you know there is that word which is important. I would acknowledge it and speak it in the way toward this that I've said to the young people. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other good things shall be added unto you. It's important to be favoured to know that we're God's children and that he loves us. He has set his love upon us. He's chosen us ere time began, and in time he is now teaching us to make us know that one thing is needful above everything else. Even what is that one thing? To know Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you will know and understand God is your Heavenly Father. And we are children of God, and we hope we can say join heirs with Christ. Yes, this is the one thing needful. And if God bring us to know this, to be in the feeling sense of the wonder of the favour of it, then I know, I'm sure, there will be trials in the pathway. But God will try the graces he has given. He will try his people. Oh, he will cause them to be brought forth as gold. You think of how, as we know and read in Job, come to the 23rd chapter, after all that discussion before mentioned in the chapters with the friends there, and then in chapter 23 there's a continuing of it, and he's in a place where he hasn't really got the presence of God in that way he likes to have or would desire to have. And of course, after all the terrible things that had happened to him, He says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would come unto his seat, I would order my cause before him, fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words that he would speak unto me. You know, as he goes on there and as he states there, but he knoweth. But he knoweth the way that I'd take. He couldn't find him on the right hand or on the left. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Friends, I believe we can rightly take that from that which is stated in that way as Job spoke. You know, we know, many chapters on, he comes to the place. He comes to the place where he has to say before God, behold, I am vile. And then how wonderfully he was restored. How wonderfully he was blessed. Oh, friends, I believe in regard to every one of God's people, you ought to be in God's sovereign will. In the trial of your faith, it will be for perfect purpose in God's holy mind and will. It's set for your good. Oh, it's all for the best. It's all for good for his people. He's promised good to his people, and he will bring it to be. Let the trial of your faith be much more precious. You know what a sad thing it would be if we were in some measure brought to know and believe in Jesus Christ, and then we went on living carelessly. Oh, God will not let those he has done his first work in, he will not let them go on living carelessly. They may for a time, but they will not be allowed to all the time. He is such a gracious, loving God to his people. Heavenly Father knows what's needed in each one of his children. Oh, he will, and he will not, friends, as we read in the word, he will not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. It's a deep, profound thing to be brought to be under and feeling the feeling, solemn feeling sense of God's anger toward us, his righteous anger, in his being grieved at our sins, his being grieved at our state and condition of our neglectfulness of him. It may be neglectfulness of prayer, neglectfulness of exercise. Oh, when we're carnal. Paul said, I am carnal, sold under sin. He wasn't always in that sad state of feeling the guilt of it. But, oh, he felt it much. And he cried out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But then, wonderfully, his faith was immediately strengthened. And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And so he acknowledges solemnly, with the mind serve I the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. This is what it is, friends. With you and me, we hope we can say with the mind, the spiritual mind, we serve the law of God, but with the flesh. That's with the carnal mind too, the flesh. The carnal mind takes different ways, different objects she surveys, different objects to grace, so different, so solemnly different. But oh, friends, is it a concern? Is it a really, truly deep concern in you? And is it that in this, and because of this, God is dealing with you, and you are in and under this of God's dealings, the trial of your faith, and you know in your heart of hearts it is more precious than of gold which perishes, because it is your God, your loving Lord, your God, your heavenly Father, making you right and keeping you right. Oh, how favoured we are, really, that the trial of your faith, it's known to be, it's felt to be, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Though it be tried with fire, your faith tried with fire. This is solemn, deeply solemn, and yet it's so blessedly wonderful. Your faith, though it be tried with fire, the favour, precious, the trying of your faith, much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Oh, friends, you see, the solemn reality is that God's people can have wrong faith, natural faith, faith that is not true faith. Oh, some kinds of natural persuasions and confidences are often found in the child of God, where they are trusting in self or something base instead of trusting sovereign grace. That is the natural faith in the child of God, which must be burned up. God must rid his people of it. Now, if you're under this, it may be you've greatly cherished and thought of the favours that you think you have been able to believe, and it's you're taking for granted, and it's only the exercise of the carnal mind, and it's not vital living faith. And you see, often with this natural faith is in material things. It's in things which you can naturally have and hold, and you know, God, and it even is developed by Satan and made to be idols within you. Though it be tried with fire. Oh, it's got those, there's got to be the burning up of all the faith that is not the faith of God's elect, not God-given. There must be the burning up of it. Now, you will know in your own case, in your own life, the things that you're having to lose, what you're having to have burnt up, what you're having to have taken away from you by God, what you have to renounce. Glad they renounce their former pride when under the true favours of God's love and grace. But oh, you will acknowledge it. You feel the favour of it afterwards when there's been the losing. Friends, real religion is an experience of losing. Losing a lot of all what is unprofitable at the trial of, and it being much more precious than of gold that perishes, because what is given and brought and experienced in and under the trial of your faith is to prepare you for heaven, to prepare you for glory, to prepare you for eternity, to be with God forever in heaven. So in the statement of it, much more precious than of gold that perishes, you can't take your gold with you beyond the grave. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can take nothing out. The trial of your faith. Oh, but this wonderful, vital faith, though it lives and labours under load, and though damned it never dies, this is a favour of it. It's forever and ever. It's eternal. It will be proved in the holy felicity and enjoyment and pleasures evermore in heaven that God's people will enter into. By faith they look forward toward that land of pure delight. Oh, we trust we do. The trial of your faith. But I believe too there are important things God has appointed for us to know the trial of your faith over, and because of what he has appointed for you in your life here in time, what you must be by the grace of God and what you must attend to in your walk and conduct and your profession of his name. And I'm talking now not of the things that the old nature will be craving after, all that will be burned up. And if the Lord is stripping you and burning up much of your dross, it may be he's preparing you. He will reveal it and make it known, preparing you for what he intends is in your life and purpose, his purpose for you. I think of this, friends. There it was with one. When the friends in the chapel and several ministers were saying to our dear pastor at the time, Mr. Field, when are you going to send out Mr. Chapman into the ministry? You know, God has got today, now, his people, his sons who are ordained for the ministry that he will send out. And they will be much subject to this trial of faith. God will show them what they must do. He'll show them what is their calling, that they are to be sent out into the ministry of the word and to preach the everlasting gospel. Oh, are there those? Is it? I feel it upon me, friends. One and another who? The Lord knows who they are, who you are, who he is exercising for the work of the ministry. And this is a great part of the trial of your faith. There is much you must know and experience under this, in God's sovereign purpose for you. But that there will be a bringing through this trial and a being brought out and to be manifest and to it all to be brought to the light to God's people. The trial of how can I preach? All the sins I keep feeling to have to confess before God. How can I preach the gospel? How can I, a sinner like me, be sent out in the work of the ministry? And what a trial of your faith it is. But to you and to God, your Heavenly Father, and to your beloved Saviour, your dear Redeemer, it's so precious, so important. And you are to know it's much more precious than of gold that perishes. When I was under the exercise, I was running my business and working hard, and the devil said, how will you be able to spend all the time going preaching? How will you be able to spend such time and lose so much of time, work time? And what about when it comes to harvest time? How will you be able to go preaching? Whatever it is in your path, the Lord knows. But you see, everything must be made clear and plain, and the Lord, he sanctifies his people under these solemn exercises, and he tries their faith, the trying of your faith, to bring it all to pass, to bring it all about according to his holy sovereign will, the trying of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. And you see, the word as it flows on, but tried with fire, much to be burned up, might be found under praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I hope to hear a dear man this afternoon in our own home cause, who the Lord has thrust out into the ministry. I knew he would be thrust out, the Lord showed me he would. And wonderfully is on the walls of Zion and being much helped and made a blessing to God's people. Oh, the trying of it, I don't know all the details, of course, but I know he was under this and in this, the trying of your faith, but the Lord brings it to pass. It's to be found. is to be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It must come in the will of God. These dear characters whom he has ordained for the work of the ministry shall be sent forth to preach the everlasting gospel. I was communicating with one of the dear friends whose God's given me as one of my sons in the faith, and I was saying to him, in the way we were messaging each other, there it was, the word given to me: blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Oh, the commission. Oh, it might be found under praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, his appearing. We love his appearing, friends. We each personally need it. Every soul born of God needs the appearing of Christ. They need the favour. Will be brought to know their need of mercy, to plead for mercy for Jesus' sake, their need of forgiveness, their need of the application of the precious blood of Christ to their hearts and consciences. How we're made to need the Lord. Many times have I thought back to the dear servant of God coming to us at Hope Stockfold in my young days, and he used to ask the question, are you poor enough to need him? Oh, he makes his people poor, poor sinner. You may be a poor sinner this morning, dejected with fear. Well, what you must do is unbosom your mind to the Lamb as God helps you. Oh, he knows your case. He knows your state and condition. He knows how weak and faint thou art, and he will come at length. And one look from him will cheer thy heart and bring renewed strength. Yes, friends, why the word has come to me and been laid upon me, the Lord knows his purpose. Might be found under praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It was so in the cause at Heathfield. It will be so in every cause of truth where this wonderful appearing is for the blessing of souls and the bringing out into the light of God's sovereign purposes of his dealings, and for the honour and glory of God, and the preaching of the gospel to it with those that are ordained unto the ministry of the word. The Lord will bring this wonderful day, this wonderful time, unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Christ, and the church of God will glorify God in Christ, praising God from whom all blessings flow. What the Lord has done, individual souls, what the Lord has done for my soul. And those in any office they must take and be in exercise in and go forth in his name. A wonderful appearing. Oh, how we, our late dear friend Mr. Pont used to talk to me. We used to talk of the appearing of God. We love his appearing. We used to compare together. We had a few times together where we could bless God that we had been so humbled under God working and acknowledging God's appearing in blessing precious souls under our poor ministry. I wouldn't say poor regarding my dear late brother, but myself I mean in that. But the Lord knows how the Lord works, and what a great favour it is to God's people when they have the favours of the Lord working, using them as poor instruments in his holy sovereign purpose. We have to leave the word now. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen. Thank you.
God willing, Mr. Philip Hare is expected to preach on Friday evening of this week, and Mr. Paul Austin next Lord's Day. Well, let us close with hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners, hear and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon the worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. Hymn 1070.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that was seen amiss in her service. Oh, do own and bless thy word, Lord. Bless the friends who knoweth what they're in. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.